Okay. We are towards the middle of Avyu Beis Amud Aleph. We just finished discussing, we're in the first of the medium-sized lines, which is my Gemara it is. We finished discussing all the Miriam and the Kalev Gemaras. We proved and demonstrated a few times that Kalev and Miriam were married. Actually, Josh Neiman asked me a question offline last time that Kalev was married to Bitya Bas Paro. So I sent him a little note from Chabad.org, and there's a write about it that he's married to both. Kalev's married to both Paro's daughter, the one who fished Moshe out of the Suf, as well as to Miriam. Okay, we're up to right now the word V'yelech Ish V'Beis Levi. Again, very appropriate for nowadays, the time of the Pesach story. We're discussing Moshe Rabbeinu's being found and protected. V'yelech Ish V'Beis Levi. So that a man went from the house of Levi, Vayikach as Bas Levi. So Vayelech, Heichan Halach, where'd he go? When he went, where'd he go? Amar Yehuda, Amar Barzvina, Shalach Batsas Bitel. He went after the guidance and the advice of his daughter. What does that mean? What does the daughter say? What did Miriam say to him? Tana was taught Amram Gadol Ador Haya. Amram was the Gadol Ador of the generation. Kaven, the gears of your change is such a Guzzar. Kaven Shigazar, Para Russia, Kola Ben Hayilod. When the power of the Russia decreed that every male would be thrown into the river, Amar, so Amram says himself, Lashav Anu Amelim, we're working for nothing. Shav means in vain. We're having children in vain. Because after all, we're going to have a child. You're going to go through a 9-month pregnancy. You can deliver a baby. They're going to kill it. And therefore, Amar v'Girish is Ishto. He got up and he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulam v'Girish is Nisho Sayan. If the Gadol Ador divorced his wife for this reason, so then everyone follows. Everyone got up and they divorced their wives as well. Amrlo Bito, his daughter Miriam, says to Amram, Abba, Kashik Zeraska Yotem Mishal Paro. What you did and everyone followed you is worse than what Paro did. Shaparo lo gazer el al zachar. It's like Gazar to al zachar val kevos. Paro's decree only applied to the males, throw the males into the river, into the Nile. And your decree was both preventing males and females from being born. Paro only made a gzera that affects this world. Because if they kill a baby, the baby sells in the Shema, it's born in the world. But you're preventing children from being born. That's this world and the next world. Paro Russia, Suffolk, Miskaimus, Xerasok, Suffolk, Adam, Miskaimus. Paro is a Russia. It's unclear whether what he wants to happen will happen in the end or not. Suffolk, he's a Russia. He doesn't have a big pole in Shemayim, but it's a deek. But you are a big tzaddik, so definitely what you decree is going to happen. Shneimar is in the pasuk, but tigzor omer vayakam lach, which means that if they decree and he says it will yakam lach, it will be established. So a person who's a tzaddik, he speaks what he speaks happens. So you dad, is what Miriam says, you Abba, what you decree is going to happen. What power decrees, maybe it will, maybe it won't. And it's only for boys, and yours are boys and girls. And it's only Olam Hazeh, yours Olam Hazeh, and Olam Haba. You're not having people even being born in the world in the first place. Once Amram hears the arguments of his daughter Miriam, Amad v'hichzer es ishto. So he went back, and Vayelech, he went back, and he remarried his wife. And because he did so, he's a Gadol Ador, Amdu Kulam v'chziron es mishur sayan. They all went back also, and they remarried their spouses. And that's what the word means, Vayelech, that he followed after the advice of his daughter. Okay. Says the Gemara, Vayikach. It says the word Vayikach, basically Vayikach is Bas Levi. Vayikach implies like an original take, an original marriage. Vayachzor, by the way, I should say Vayachzor, he went back to her. Not that he took her from this beginning, he went back to her. Amar Yehuda Barzvina, no. Shasala Masala Kuchen. They performed like behaviors that would symbolize the excitement of an original marriage. Even though it's Vayachzor, really, he remarried her. The behavior was that of the excitement of original marriage. Hoshiva b'apiryon, that they placed Yocheved down in an apiryon. Apiryon is like a beautiful, beautiful chair that was designated for a kala, for the first time kala. So he put her in a beautiful chair, and Aaron and Miriam rocked in the fanea. Aaron and Miriam would dance in front of her, in front of Yocheved, and Malachi Asharis Amru Eima Banu Smecha. Malachi Asharis would sing and say in front of this beautiful image, happy is the mother of children. And therefore, even though it's true, it was a remarriage, he remarried her again, but it was like the celebration was befitting for a first marriage as well. So it says Vayikach, which usually references a first marriage, an original marriage. The celebration was really that of like an original marriage. Okay. And we mentioned, who did he take? It's impossible because he took his bas Levi. Says the Gemara, Asher bas meyav shoshim shana v'yahavi v'kar the bas. Is it possible that she could be 130 years old, Yocheved, and we called her a bas, like a girl? That sounds very strange. And we know Henry Yocheved was 130 years old, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And we also know that Bnei Yisrael was in Mitzrayim for 210 years. So this event happens 130 years into Bnei Yisrael's servitude. And the Amar Bicham Bar Bichanina, Yocheved. This refers to who was the Bas Levi? It was Yocheved. Shahorasa Bederech, Lidasa Ben Achamos, that they became pregnant with Yocheved when they were traveling to go to Mitzrayim. And she was actually born Ben Achamos. She was born as they entered the walls of Mitzrayim. Yocheved was born as Bnei Israel makes their way into Mitzrayim. They get there, Yocheved was born immediately upon the arrival of Mitzrayim. Shanimar, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Yalda Oso Levi Mitzrayim, that Yocheved was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. And then the Gemara makes a diuk right now, Leidas of Mitzrayim, her birth was in Mitzrayim, Vein Horas of Mitzrayim, but they weren't pregnant in Mitzrayim. I mean, they became pregnant before Mitzrayim, and they gave birth to her in Mitzrayim, which means that she was born as they first entered servitude, when Yosef was already there, and Shvatim all come. And that means that 130 years since that point in time is when this story is happening right now. So Yocheved is 130 years old, and we're calling her a bas, like she's a girl. She's an old lady already. She's a safta. So why are we calling her a girl? So Rabbi Yehuda shenolda ba simani naris, that she had to mark this moment in time when she's about to get remarried to her husband Amram. She had like girl-like, youthful-like appearance that came over her. According to, I think Chazal explained that she got her period back. She had her period back, and even her face, like it was all wrinkled and it smoothed itself out. She had like the first ever, facelift from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even facelift himself, took all the wrinkles away. Botox, that's where you see the source of Botox is from this Parsha, this point over here. So you have over here that that Yocheved had the appearance again of a young girl, even though she was 130 years old. Okay. Plus, it's Vatar Isha Vatelid Bain. There's an interesting point over here we're going to suggest right now. It says that the woman became pregnant and she gave birth. The Gemara now is going to assume a very interesting thought, which we haven't talked about yet. And really, Chazal says something a little differently. At least Rashi quotes something differently. But over here, the Gemara sticks this the whole way through. That really, Yocheved was pregnant already before she got remarried. Meaning she was pregnant with from Amram, and then he divorced her, and then he took her back, but she was pregnant already. So here the question, Marvi asks the question, Marvi says here, how could it be? It says, Batar Isha Batele Bain. After he remarries her, it says that she became pregnant and she had a kid. Vahavas mi'abra beit flasa yarchi meikara. But behold, she was mi'abra, she was pregnant 3 months, flasa yarchi meikara beforehand. I mean, she was pregnant with them before they got divorced. And therefore, why does they batar after he remarried her? She already was pregnant. By the way, just to explain to you, we know that Moshe was hidden for 3 months. The reason why, the Gemara is going to say very soon, is because she was already pregnant. They didn't realize that. They thought she was getting married again in a new time, and they only counted 9 months from now in case she would become pregnant now. But she already was pregnant 3 months earlier. So the Gemara here says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zvina, why does it batar Aisha batelet bein, when she was already pregnant earlier? Make each ledasa lo rasa, we're connecting the birth to the pregnancy. Mahu rasa shlo batar, afli dasa shlo batar. Just like she had a child. She said she became pregnant. When you become pregnant, there isn't pain involved in the pregnancy, in becoming pregnant. So her birth was also not a painful birth. Again, when a person becomes pregnant, they have an intimacy with their spouse. There's not a lot of pain that goes into that action. The opposite is pleasurable usually. And therefore, her birth and her pregnancy go hand in hand. And therefore, she also had a very painless childbirth. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
If she was already pregnant when they were getting married, how is she, according to the opinions of Chazal, how is she beginning her period then?
Excellent question. Very good. So it's a good question. Meaning, the way Rashi explains, what does it mean she became like a bas, that she returned to her original state? It's a great question. We have different girsos regarding thank you so much, Oprah. Different girsos regarding what Rashi and the Chumash doesn't say this pshat. Rashi and the Chumash says the pshat is that she was actually she delivered a baby 3 months early, as I'm sure you've heard before. It was only a 6 month pregnancy, which would fit better, I guess, with this concept, right? It was a 6 month pregnancy. There was this concept. You're right. These two midrashim don't seem to go hand in hand. How could she have gotten her period? Unless you want to say that she, well, you're right. This drush over here that she was a bas right now, as if it just happened right now, would not be a great, it doesn't fit in well with what we just said. So we have two separate, as Aaron's pointing out, two separate midrashim that do not work together. They assume different things. One medrash, and Rashi quotes the other medrash, that she really had a 6 month pregnancy and it was not from 3 months earlier. So that would make sense then that she would have her like cycle starts again. Like she has a new, her body becomes back to her young age and she's a cycle and she's able to have children again properly. According to the Gemara we have over here though, it doesn't fit in as well. Where over here it sounds like she already was pregnant and therefore when we call her boss right now, it doesn't make sense. She already was a boss. She already had the status of being a boss. Unless you want to say, the other thing you could say, Ara, maybe, is that she had a boss-like change in her life, not just the second. She's under 30 years old, it's true, but she looked like a boss. When that started, maybe it started 3 months earlier. Maybe it started in 5 years. I don't know when it started, but it started earlier at some point. But it's an excellent question. It's a good point. Okay. The Gemara points out over here that maybe Yocheved did not have, like Sara Leda did not have the birth pangs that women have nowadays. So Mikan, Lenashim Sikanios, Shlohaya Bipitka Shochava. Here we learn the Lenashim Sikanios, the holy women, were not part of the Pitka Shochava, the decree that was given down to Chava. When Chava was given a klala in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. She was given a curse that she would have be'etzvi talibanim, that she would have childbirthing pains, very challenging childbirthing pains. So that's what she kind of said, not part of the pitka shel chava, we're not part of the decree, the klala, the curse that Chava received. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, it says, v'teir yoso ki tofu. They saw he was good, he was tov. So what does it mean he was tov? Tanir meir omer tov shemo. His name was Tov. That's what his name was. For Yudomer, Tuvia Shemo. His name was Tuvia. We'll see, actually, the Gemara is a lot, of, not over here, but in general, there's a lot of different Masorahs, what Moshe Rabbeinu's real name was. Maybe it was Tov. Maybe it was Tuvia over here we see. Rechem is a different shot as to what it means, Kitovu. Amar Hagun Lenvuos, Nevios. It wasn't his name. He was Tov. He was fitting. Hagun, he was fitting to become a prophet. He was fitting for prophecy. Achem, remember, other people say, Noah Kishumahul. He was born already circumcised. Who we see that beforehand? Who we see was born circumcised already? Where we see that in the Gemara up to now? Who was born circumcised? Remember? Aaron, what do you got for me, Aaron?
David?
Yeah, how do we remember? Remember how we knew that? What was the source that was circumcised? What was the word we used to learn that did, that was circumcised? Remember? It was a word that we kind of broke into two. Akiva, you know? The word mechtam ledavid. We said makat tama, right? His place where you get makat, where you get affected, afflicted, which is the makamila, was pure. It was the ma'ul before he even was born. It was the foreskin was missing right away. Okay. So that's what it means over here, kitov. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house filled with light. Sivach says over here in our sugya of Atero Soki Tovu, as we just read that Moshe Rabbeinu that saw he was Tov. Sivach says over there in the beginning of creation of the world, Vayar Elokim Asaor Kitov. The word Kitov, or the word Kitov, or is Kitov. They see that Moshe is Kitov. Oh, must be he had light surrounding him when he was born, the glow. Okay. They quote the next part of the pasuk, Spineo Shoshi Rachim. And they were able to hide him for 3 months. Let's go back to what we said earlier on. Lomanu Mitzrim Ella Misha Da'adra. The Mitzvah only started counting. Manu is to count from the time when they got remarried. He Hayavas Mi Abra Beit Flasi Yarachi Mikara. But she again was pregnant 3 months prior, and therefore for 3 months she was pregnant earlier. And they only started counting, assuming she was going to become pregnant when they first got remarried. Maybe first remarried each other, but really already 3 months she was already 3 months pregnant, so they didn't start counting. So for 3 months they could hide him. There's a possible Lo Yechla Olat Bino. They couldn't hide him more. Am I? Why? Why don't they continue hiding him from this point forward? Why don't they stop hiding him? What would be done to try to, I guess, to kind of realize that there was a baby born? Whenever Mitzrayim would hear that there was a baby born, a baby was born, the matu yanuka, they would bring a baby there, another baby there, one of their own babies. So they would hear them cry, and we know that they would cry together. It says, and Rashi points out that when one baby would cry, something that's a common phenomenon, the baby cries another baby will also start making noise. It's like they react to each other's sounds. And therefore, that's what the pasuk means when it says in Shirashir, Dixiv, Achzulanu Shualim, Shualim Ktanim. They grabbed us with small foxes, meaning young foxes were used to smoke us out. They were able to knock and kind of figure out where our babies were by bringing young foxes, meaning their own children, and figuring out where our children were actually hiding, so they couldn't take the risk anymore of hiding them. Where do we have the word shualim beforehand? Remember, guys? Who were shualim? Yeah, Akiva, what do you got, Akiva?
Wasn't it when... might be something else I was listening to, but when Rabbi Akiva went...
Oh, that's very good also. Excellent. Not good. It's true. Not in Sota, but you're right. Yeah, but Rabbi Akiva Sugya. Very good. Excellent. That's good also. Yeah, Aaron, what do you got?
Shimshon killed, I think, 300 foxes.
Well, he didn't kill them. He took 300 foxes and he tied their tails together. And and they had fires in their tails. Why did Dafka choose a fox, Aaron? You remember?
Because the plishim didn't keep their... The foxes walk backwards.
Excellent. When foxes are threatened, they walk backwards. They don't run, they run backwards. Plishim also walk back from their original promise. Very good. Excellent. Okay. Back in our Gemara. So, quote the next part of the story. V'tikach lo tevas goma. So his mother Yocheved put for him a tevas goma, a basket of goma, of reeds. She made a basket of reeds for Moshe to be placed into. Maishna goma, why did she choose a basket of reeds? What's the difference? Amar Blazer Michan, here we learn out, tzadikim shevamonim uchiv alem yitam gufan, that the tzadikim's money is more precious than their own bodies, meaning they're very sensitive on financial things. Now, again, because reeds are very cheap. It's not wood. Wood is expensive. Reeds, like reeds, are really just like trash. And tzaddikim are very sensitive with their money. So it sounds very funny. Why are they so money-focused? They don't want to spend money because they do. They don't want to take a chance ever, God forbid, of compromising their value systems for money and being in any type of gezel in their lives. They want to make sure that they stay free. Any financial concerns that could befall them. So they want to be very careful with their money. Okay. Rishmur Bar Nachmeni Omer Davarach. Rishmur Bar Nachmeni argues, no, they weren't being cheap. They actually were, they used something that was very strategic. They used something that's very rach, something that's very soft. Why? Shiachulamo b'nei Davarach, b'nei Davarkasha. Something that's soft, that's more pliable, it's more flexible, so it could stand in the way of something that's soft or something that's hard. If something that's soft hits like a rock when it's moving along, it will kind of like just, bend in. It'll bend in. If it was a hard thing, it would hit the rock. The rock might penetrate it and break it. So the reason why they used a table of reeds is to protect Moshe Rabbeinu, not because they were being cheap, because they figured that would be the best way that the table could last, no matter what it kind of came into contact with. Okay. And she coated it with plaster and with tar. Again, they made this, they took this reed and they kind of protected it from the outside and from the inside. Tana chomer mivim, it was like plaster in the inside near Moshe where he was. It was like tar on the outside where where the waters would be. Why are you doing that order? Kadei shul yariach osa tzadik reach ra. And Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't smell the tar. The tar was on the outside because Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't smell bad tar when he's lying in the teva. We know just the Chazal tells that Noach was actually happened to tar on the inside as well. So there's two different reasons as to why I've heard. One reason is that the floods of Noah's time was much stronger. They had to have much, much more protection. Therefore, they needed tar both inside and outside. Or because Noach wasn't a tzaddik, as like Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a tzaddik, but he was a tzaddik, not a full-fledged tzaddik. And therefore, he wasn't, the whole reach ra didn't apply to Noach. Either way, v'tasim b'as a yellow v'tasim b'suf. They placed the boy into the teva, and they put him in the suf. And what does a suf mean? Rebbe Lezer Omer Yamsuf. That was a Yamsuf that we know about. Like the Red Sea. That's where she placed him. which when Achmeni Omer Agam, it was more like a marsh, like a little body of water with reeds sticking all around it. As it says, Kasiv Kanavasuf Kamalu. We say that again, a kana, like these stalks, with suf, and again the kana and the suf are put together, so it's like a marsh with stalks with reeds coming out of it. Kamalo means they wither. But you see over here that the idea of a suf, placed in basuf, suf is connected to kana, and kana is like a marsh where you have these sticks, these reeds that are sticking out of it. And that's where she put him in, like a little body of water. But Terry Basparo, the Rechot Alayor, Baspar goes now down to walk by the river, to go bathe by the river. Remember, Yochai Mishur Mishum ben late, and Yochai top of your basement bathes now. Lamin Shayar de Lerchot Biglule Abia. What does Mishum went down to bathe? She went down to bathe, like go to the mikvah. She went to go to the mikvah to rinse herself from the glule, from the Avodah Zarah of her father's house. Like she was like going according to Rashi, she was becoming a convert. She wanted to leave her father's life and lifestyle behind, the lifestyle of believing in idols, and she wanted to embrace the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, she was going to the Rashi down to the mikvah in order to bathe. It's part of the process of becoming a Jewess. B'cheinu Omer, and similarly it says, Imrachas Hashem et Tzoach Banos Tzion. If Hashem will wash out the Tzoah, the filth of the daughters of Tzion. So we see again the word rachat over here is not only a physical washing, but it refers to a spiritual cleansing, like what Baspar was doing when she saw Moshe Rabbeinu's teva in the water. V'narasei Holchos, her maidservants were walking alongside her, what she saw. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Halicha Zu Ela Shel Misa. The word Holchos here doesn't mean they were actually walking. It means they died. Her maidservants died. V'cheinu Omer, will bring a proof that the word Holchos means to die. Hinei Anochi Olech Lamus. By Esav, he says, I'm going to die. Olech has a death reference to it. So the Narosei were Holchos. They died by the area over here where Baspar was going to bathe. Now, why did they die? For the following reason. But Teira is a teva betocha suf. This apostle says that she sees the teva in the suf. Kevin dechazu the kabbais latu le Moshe. Once they saw, meaning once her narosel, her maidservants see that Basparo is going over to check out what's up with this baby in there. Maybe I should protect it and save it. When they saw chazu, they saw that she wanted to latu le Moshe, say Moshe, Amrule, the maidservants say to Basparo, give your tenu, our lady. Minagoshal olam. Melech Basar Madam Gozer Gzeira. The way the world is, if a king, if a human king, decrees something, Imko Olam Kulo Ein Mekayem Lo'Sa. Even if the whole world may not keep it, but Avu Bnei Beiso Mekayem Lo'Sa. But certainly the family should keep it. The At Overas Gzeiras Avich, and you're violating the words of your father. Your father said, "Throw all the babies into the water," and you're going to take a baby out of the water. What are you doing over here? This is wrong. So once they started to make that claim, Bagavriel B'Chavta Mekar. Gavriel comes along and he bangs the ground. And by doing that, he killed all the maidservants. They all died. I mean, Gavriel gave a big bang, a big clap onto the ground, and all the maidservants died in that moment in time. Now, the story goes on. Back according to the pasuk again, we have in Shmos, V'tishlachas amasa t'kacheh, that she sent out her ama, and she took the baby from the teva. What does it mean, amasa? It's machlokas. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemya. Chad amar yada. She sent her hand out. She reached her hand out, and she grabbed the baby. The Chadamar Shiv Chazan, one says, no, it wasn't her hand. It was her actual Amma, like an Amma Ivriya, like a maidservant. Now, what's the reason why they argue? Manda Amar Yada, the one says it was her hand. Dichsiv Amasa. It says the word Amasa, which means like, it's an Amma is like a way to describe her hand. But Manda Amar Shiv Chazan, the one says it was Shiv Chazan, means Loksiv Yada, didn't say Yada. Could have said Yada, it said Amasa. Amasa is a word that means both an Amma Ivriya. It also means Amma over here is part of your hand, like this. It's the elbow to the wrist is called an amma. So on one hand, yeah, an amasa could be called a hand, but it didn't say the word hand. So amasa, maybe it means really her maidservant. Well, if that's the case, Umandamar Shivchasa, ha amar bagavriel v'chavta b'karka. I know Aaron got to ask the question in a minute. Aaron was going to ask me. I could see it already percolating in his brain. How could it be a maidservant? Didn't we kill the maidservants already? Gabriel came in and clapped on the ground. They all died. So they left one behind, meaning the clap that Gabriel gave, it killed all but one. Why did one not die? It's not orcha. It's not derech eretz. It's not appropriate that a bas melech, a princess like bas paro, should make kam, should be standing by herself lechuda. It's not appropriate. She should be by herself. And therefore, for that reason, there's one maidservant that survives, and that's the maidservant that she sends to get the baby. Ulman da amar yada, the one who says it means really her hand. Lechtov yada, why didn't it say her hand? I mean, why did it say amasa instead of her hand? Kamash malan, akamash malan, the ishtar babe, ishtar buvi. Very interesting thing that we'll see a few times in the stories in Tanakh that are describing these things, that it means that her hand extended. Shubi means it extended longer. Her hand extended. I mean, she put her hand like this, and like, you know, go gadget hand, and whoosh, it goes well beyond the actual length of a typical hand. It extended. Tamar Mar, as is quoted, master quotes, he's quoting now a line that you find is similar thing. It was talking about in the Sechus Megillah. You guys did Megillah already? Who did Megillah? Who's my Megillah guys? Anyone here? No? No? Okay. There's a story in the Megillah also where there's an extension. When Ahasuerus puts out his scepter to allow Esther to come into his chambers, so it says that the scepter extended. His rod, his scepter extended, and Esther was able to touch it and go into, be allowed into the chamber of the king. So there in Megillah it says, V'chein et ha-motzi, you find in a similar way, one second, where is this? Amar Mar. Yeah. You find in a similar way, V'amasa shel bas paro, as we just mentioned, that the hand of bas paro turns like an amma is like a measurement, well beyond its normal size. V'chein et ha-motzi, you also find an extension, something sticking out more than it should, b'shinei rishayim, by the teeth of rishayim. The Gemara here describes by Og Melech Abashim, the Chassidus says in the pasuk, shinei rishayim shibarta, that you broke the teeth of the rishayim. What does it mean? You broke. Amar Reish Lakish, I'll take you shibarta ela shiririvivasa. Rather means that shiririvivasa extended. Rashi here quotes this idea that he quotes the gears over here of the ishar buve. But the discussion over here is that Og Melech Abashim, when Bnei Israel were receiving the Torah, so it says that he saw them. He picked up a mountain and he wanted to throw it on top. He put it on his head to throw it on top of Bnei Israel and kill them all. And these like termites kind of ate away at the mountain and it kind of collapsed onto his head. He's going to lift up the mountain off his head, but then his teeth stuck out, and his teeth got stuck. That's when he's over here. The Shinei Rishayim extended out into the mountain, and he couldn't pick the mountain over his head because his teeth had jutted out, had extended into the mountain. He couldn't pull it out off the mountain of his head because the teeth were stuck and in embedded into the mountain. That's the Shinei Rishayim Shibarta part over here as well. Okay, back in our Gemara. But Tiftach Vatir'ehu, as a yelled, she opens it up, and Vatir'ehu, she sees the yelled. Now, it seems to be over here, says Rashi, it seems to be extra. But Tiftach Vatir'ehu is all you have to say. But Tering, by the way, she said Vatir'ehu, she saw. What do you mean she saw the yelled? What does she think? She saw two different things. She saw the yelled. Seems to be extra. So Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Shirasa Shechina Imo. She saw the Shechina with the yellow. The word Rashi says, the word S over here is like an addition. It adds on that she sees not only the yelled, but she also sees the Shechina. Remember where else we saw the word before? We kind of referenced it. The word S is an addition. We had that a few days ago, maybe, or a day or two ago, where S was an addition. I'll give you a hint what it's about. Give you a hint. It's about Kain and Hevel. Remember what S was? Yeah, Aaron, what do you got for me, Aaron?
Each S was a sister.
Excellent, very good. It says S Achiv Es Hevel, means that he had two sisters born with her, and Cain only had one, and he was jealous. That's an example of someone who looked at what they wanted to get, and they couldn't get even that, and they lost what they had all along. Excellent, very good. So S over here is an addition. So over here, S refers to the Shechina. She saw the Shechina protecting Moshe. If you remember, also we said earlier on as well, we saw yesterday, I think, that we described that when Miriam was watching over Moshe Rabbeinu, really the Shechina was there as well. Every word that described Miriam with, every word was also a reference to the Shechina in other places, and really the Shechina was there as well. Okay, the pasuk goes on, V'ini nar boche. Moshe Rabbeinu is crying and says that she sees a nar is boche. Whoa, says the Gemara, nar? Kar le yel, but kar le nar. I understand. He's called on one hand, he sees a yeled, and it calls him a nar. So what does that mean? So Tana, who yelled the kolo kinar? He was a little baby. But his voice was like an older voice. He had like a deeper, more mature voice, like a nar, like a more of a youth. Amar Rechem, Rechem is back from Yehuda. What? Im Kain, Asiso Moshe Rabbeinu, Baal Mum. You're making Moshe Rabbeinu a Baal Mum, but you're making him to like an abnormal individual. Like something's wrong with him. Especially because Moshe Rabbeinu is a Levi. You know, Levium, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their voices. And Moshe's voice it seems to be off. He sounds like he's an older boy when he's really an infant. Can't be. This is an unbelievably powerful emotional line. His mother, Moshe's mother, made him a chupas nurim, like a canopy of youth, like I guess for someone who's going to get married, some sort of a level of like a structure in the teva. And the reason why, this is an unbelievable line, Amr, she says to herself, Shemelo eskele chupaso. I may never see his chupa. Let me make him a chupa right now, a little chupa right now. I'll never see him again. So if you can pick, I won't. Shema, maybe I won't ever see him again. So imagine the emotion going on right now. You picture Moshe Rabbeinu putting the teva, but like your mother built, his mother builds him like a whole entire chuppah in the teva because she's not sure she'll ever see his chuppah, even ever have a chuppah. What an unbelievably emotional moment in time. We know what happens in the end, so we're not so worried about it. But picture what's happening when you put your baby in the Nile like that, and you have this structure you make, not knowing you ever see him in a chuppah. Okay, now Bas Paro finds the baby, as we just said, Vatachmol love, Vatomri al day rimzeh. So she has mercy on him, and she says, "Oh, here's a Jewish baby." Says Gemara, "Mina yada." How did she know? So Amar Biyosef Rabbi Chanina, Shirasa also mal. She saw that she had a mila. We mentioned before that he was born with a bris mila, according to some opinions. And if he wasn't born with it, they would have given him one. So she sees he's a mila. He's circumcised. She says, okay, that must be that this is a Jewish baby. Now the word zeh over here, the word zeh in quotes, Ayivrim zeh. So Amar Biyosef, what does the word zeh mean? Lamed shenisnava shlomidaita. She actually just had a nevua, Bas Paro, not realizing that she was actually prophesizing right now. She didn't realize what she was even saying. But she was saying something that was prophecy. Zed nofil, vein acher nofil. This one has fallen into the sea, but no other one afterwards will fall into the sea. I mean, this is the last baby right now. Zed, this is it. This is the last baby that's going to have this decree of being thrown into the sea. Moshe Rabbeinu was the final infant thrown into the Ur. Vayim da'amri Rabbi Lezer. Lezer says, my dechsiv, what does it mean when Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, we see that there was you can have a nevuah, and not realize what you're saying. My dechsiv v'chi yomru aleichem dirshu el ha'ovos v'al yidonim ha'metzaftafim v'amahagim. Yishai describes when they're going to say to you, go speak to the obos and the yidonim. These were two like different types of people who sought out information from the dead. They would either try to conjure up bodies or they would take a bone and put in by their armpit and pretend like they were hearing voices. But the point is that they would try to conjure up spirits that they could talk to people. They're mitzaftafim umahagim, which means they're chattering and they're babbling, like they're kind of just saying things. Sofim be'enu yodim ha'sofim, they see but they don't know what they're seeing. Mahagim be'enu yodim ha'mahagim, they're talking, they don't even know what they're saying. So here you have someone who notices something. And they'll interpret it, but they'll interpret it wrong. And how does it apply to our sugya? Because why did they stop throwing the babies into the water? So over here he says, because Ru Shemoshian Shal Yisrael b'mayim hulaka. The Mitzri seers, the people who were able, the visionaries in the Mitzrim, they saw the Moshiam Shal Yisrael, that that's the Gine Paro. They saw the Moshiach Shal Yisrael, the protector of the Jews. I mean, Moshe, the Redeemer, Moshe Rabbeinu. One day, b'mayim hulokeh, he'll be afflicted by water. They saw in their stars that one day the downfall of the Savior of the Jews would be water. Of the begus, therefore they decreed, call ben yilod or yitashku, any boy born, throw him into the water. They saw that water was his downfall. They said, okay, let's do it. Let's put it in water. Kevon shaduya the Moshe. Once they threw Moshe Rabbeinu in the water, Amru, Sulo Chazinan, Yehi Simana. They saw, oh, I don't see any more of the simon, meaning I don't see any more of the simon that the water is going to hurt anymore. I mean, we did our job. We put him in the water, and they don't know which baby it was, but they saw that now the simon seems gone. The water has done its part, they figured. And they were butler with their sire. They took away their gezera. From this point forward, no other baby was thrown into the waters anymore. Moshe was the last one. But they didn't realize that what was the water that they saw? Not the water of the Yor. What was going to be his downfall was Meh Meriva. Was going to be the waters when they're in the Midbar. When they run out of water, and they have this fight. Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock. That was going to be their ultimate, his ultimate downfall. That's what they saw. They didn't know what they were seeing. That's what they were really seeing in the end. They were seeing Moshe Rabbeinu would be smitten and would be ruined, quote unquote, by the water, not by the water of the Nile, the water of the Suf, by the water later on and when they're in the Midbar. But they, again, they saw things. They didn't know what they saw. And they chattered. They didn't even know what they were saying. This over here is a proof for it. And we know that this is what that's what it was in the end. The Ainu, the Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina. So he explains, might I say what it means in the Pasuk? What does it say in the Pasuk? What does it mean when it says, Hema, Hem Riva, Asher Rabu, Rabu? This is the Meir Riva that they quarreled over. Hema, this, Sherao Itzigine Paro. This is what the sorcerers of Paro had actually seen. Vitao, and they made a mistake. They thought it was the Nile, and they threw them in the Nile. Really, what they saw, what they really were seeing, was the rivers of Memriva. They just didn't understand what they were seeing. Hema Memriva. When it says in the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hema, this is Memriva. This is what they saw earlier. That's the name Paro saw earlier and thought all along that it was the Nile. It was really the Memriva in the time of the Midbar. And behind it, Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu said later on also in Sefer Midbar, Sheish Mi'os Elef Ragli, 600,000 feet. But over here, the word Ragli, says Rashi, means Bishvili. That 600,000 you are all down, around because of me. Because when they threw me in the water, they stopped throwing you in the water. Because they saw that I was the one who was the most, they didn't know it was me, but the siman they had seen went away. And they stopped throwing everyone in. You know why? It was me. Because when they threw me in the water, they thought the job was done. That the stars, the stargazers no longer saw the Moshiach Shal Yisrael around anymore. He was in the water already. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know it was me. But they figured it was done. And they stopped the decree altogether. And therefore, all of you, Sheshmiot Elef, are Ragli, are because of me. I'm then Moshe Yisrael, Bishvili Nitzaltem Kulchem. Because of me, all of you were really saved. Okay. Now that we're going to discuss a little bit about what happened in the water with Moshe Rabbeinu being found, let's discuss a little bit about the day that he was found. So, Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Amar. Oso Yom, that day that he was in the Nile, that he was, where he was in the Suf, whatever machlokas you want to say, whichever opinion you want to hold by. So that day was Esrim Yechav Ben Nisan Haya, 2 days from now. It was the 21st of Nisan. 21st of Nisan. Amr Malach HaShar Tanei Kaz Baruch Hu. The Malachim say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World. B'sha'asu lo marshir al yam b'yom zeh, yilakeh b'yom zeh. The one who's supposed to say, if he lives, he would be the one who says Az Yashar. We know the seventh day of Pesach, which is the 21st of Nisan, is the day that the Yam Suf splits. And Az Yashir Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off the Shira Sayam, the Az Yashir. And therefore, the day that's supposed to be Moshe Rabbeinu singing out Shira on the Yam, instead of that, you're going to have this day, the day Moshe Rabbeinu dies on the Yam Suf. Yilak Yom Zeh, protect him, save him. And that's what we know that in the end, Yashir Moshe, of course, is saved. Rabbi Achav, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, the Malachim says something else. Also, Yom, it wasn't the day, it wasn't the 21st of Nisan. Rather, it was the 6th of Sivan. Shisha B'Sivan, that was the day. It was 6 Sivan, which is also the Matan Torah. Shisha B'Sivan Halya. And therefore, Amr Malachi Sharat and Akash Baruch, Ribbono Shel Olam. And Malachim say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam. B'Sha'asu the Kabbal Torah, Mar Sinai B'Yom Zeh. Yilakeh B'Yom Zeh, the one who in the future is going to get the Torah from Mar Sinai on this day, should be afflicted on this day, should be killed on this day in the Yam, in the Suf. Protect him and save his life. We're going to analyze both of these time periods. Which one makes more sense to us? So, if I gave you time to think about it, you get it, you're on your own, but we'll do it inside ourselves. Bishlam Lamanda Amar, Shisha B'Sivan. If you want to tell me the day was the 6th of Sivan, the day of Matan Torah, Mishkachas La Gimel Yarchi. We find then 3 months. 3 months that he was hidden for, because we know, Damar Mar, Master stated, B'Shiva Ba'adar Mace, B'Shiva Ba'adar Nolan, Mo Moshe. That the 7th of other Moshe dies, 7th of other Moshe is born. Well, if you do the math, B'Shiva Ba'adar Ad Shisha B'Sivan, Flasa Yarchi. From Moshe's birth on the 7th of other to Moshe's death, to the moment in time when he's put in the Yam, if it was the 6th of Nisan, then that's Slasa Yarche, 3 months. We said before, how long was Moshe hidden for? For 3 months, it was hidden. 3 months. So therefore, it would make a lot of sense if he held that the day over here that he was placed into the water when Bas Paro finds him and saves his life, that would make sense to be the 6th of Sivan. That would be 3 months from his birth. And we said before, he was hidden for 3 months. But, so therefore, Slasa Yarche. That would be 3 months. Elamand Amar be'Esrim be'Echav Nisan. If you say that he was found on the 21st of Nisan, what turned out to be in the end, the last day of Pesach, the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, how do you find that these are 3 months in the end. It's not 3 months. It's Nisan is a month after Adar. It's a month and a half. It's all it is, a month and a half. So the Gemara, no, I'll tell you why. Oh, so Shana Mu Barisai said it was actually a leap year, which we have, by the way, next year in Jewish calendar. It's a leap year. We add an extra Adar in. So therefore, what do you come out with in the end? Rubo Shel Rishon, you have the 3 weeks plus of the first Adar. And then Rubo Shel Achron, you have the 3 weeks of the month of Nisan. And the Emsa'i Shalem, in the middle month of Adar Beis, Adar Sheni, the full month. So most of the first month, the full second month, most of the third month, we can call that 3 months. Call it 3 months. Okay, so now it could have been either day. It could have been the first of Nisan. It could have been the sixth of Sivan. Both could be called, in theory, 3 months of hiding. And therefore, either one could have been the case. And they were very special days, obviously, in the Jewish history. At that point, it would be the Jewish future from then. But in our Jewish history, which is Malachim Tzad Hashem, is such an important day. We have to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously, is going to be saved. Okay. But Tomer Achoso Abbas Paro, Ha'elich V'Karasi Lach Isha Menekes Menevrios. So Miriam, who again, we mentioned before, Miriam's watching this entire time. She says, Bas Paro finds the baby. Shall I go and call a wet nurse, a woman, to nurse the baby from the Jewish women? So one second. Why? Why would it be Dafka from a Jewish woman? Why couldn't she find any wet nurse to take Moshe Rabbeinu? So Malamed Shehizru, L'moshe, I'll call Mitzrios Kulon Vo'inik. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu was Hizru. He was taken around. He was brought around to all the Mitzri ladies who had babies recently, who couldn't, in theory, nurse a baby right now, give milk to a baby right now, and he wouldn't take from him. He wouldn't suckle. He would not suckle from the baby, from the Mitzri women. Amar, the reason why is Pesha Asa L'Dabri Meshchina Yinek Dabar Tamei, with a mouth that one day will speak to the Shechina. Will that mouth suckle from a Dabar Tamei, from a Mitzri lady? No way. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu refused to be nursed from a non-Jew. Bible says what it means it says in the pasuk. In Yeshaya it says, "Esmi Yoredeya." The whole pasuk says the following. Read the pasuk inside for you. "Esmi Yoredeya, Esmi Yavin Shmua Mulei Mechalav Atikei Mishadayim," which means, "Who's the one who will teach knowledge? Who understands teachings? The one who Mulei Mechalav, who separates from milk, Atikei Mishadayim, the one who removes himself from the breast." Moshe Rabbeinu, we say over here, he who didn't drink the milk, he's the one who in the future is going to be Yoredeya. Esmi Yoredeya, Vegomer. Lemi Yoredeya, Lemi Yavin Shmua. Who's the one who's going to teach the knowledge and to understand the teachings? Tafka Legmulei Mechalav Natike Mishadayim, which means the one who removes himself from the milk and separates himself from the breast. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would not take from the nursing of a non-Jewish woman, of a Mitzri, and that's why Miriam says to Bas Paro, "Let me go find a Jewish lady that will nurse him." But Tomer La Bas Paro Lechi. So Bas Paro says, "Go and find one." Amr Belazar Malamit Shahalcha Bezrizus Alma. Now again, the lashon of the pasuk is pasuk says over here, "Vatelecha Alma," means the Alma referring to Miriam, which means a young girl. The young girl went. So it means, what does it mean over here? It means that she went Bezrizus Alma with great alacrity, with great speed, like a young girl. Rishmua Barachmeni Amr HaAlma. What does he call the Alma? Sheilima is the Vareya. Helima means to hide. She hid her words, meaning she didn't say who she was, that she was his sister. She didn't say who she was going to, that she was taking him to his mother. She kept herself, private. She hid her words. But Tomer Bas Paro, Helechi Yasi Yalad Azeh. So Bas Paro says to Miriam, go take this baby, Helechi. Amar Bicham Berchina, Misnavla, Ve'eno Yadim Mashi, Misnavla. Again, she had prophecy here in that statement of Helechi, and she didn't even know what she was saying, what her prophecy was. Helechi means Ha Shalichi. This is yours, meaning this one is yours. This is your child. This is your sibling. And therefore, she didn't realize what she was saying, but really what she was saying with prophecy, not knowing what she was saying, was this is yours. Take yours. Because again, Moshe Rabbeinu was his sister, was her brother, was Yocheved's son. Bani etein etzcharech, and I will pay you. I'll even pay you to find someone to nurse this boy. So it says, Amar b'cham b'chanina, lo dayan t'tadikim, sh'machzirin es'leyav l'dasan. It's not enough that tzaddikim get what's lost back to them, but they even get paid for it. Imagine Yocheved. Here she is making a chuppas in the Urim for her son, not knowing she'll ever see him at the chuppah ever again, never see his chuppah. Next thing you know, a day later, the son is returned to her by the demand of the princess of Mitzrayim and money to nurse the baby. Wow, what an unbelievable feeling of Hashachah Pratis, obviously. But just the feeling of Kadosh Baruch in your life at that point in time is so enormous. So enormous. Vatikach Miriam HaNevuah HaNeviah Achos Aaron. So Miriam the Neviah, the sister of Aaron, takes Moshe Rabbeinu, etc. Says the Gemara, Achos Aaron v'Achos Moshe, what? She's only Aaron's sister, not Moshe's sister? That she used to give prophecy when she was only Aaron's sister. Moshe wasn't born yet. But Omer, she would say, Atida Amish Dede Ben Moshiach Es Yisrael. In the future, my mother's going to give birth to a Ben. That's Moshiach Yisrael. It's going to save Ben Yisrael. We saw earlier on, if you remember, that we described that she was Pua. That's what we said, she was Pua. That she was Pua. She was prophesizing that my mother one day would give birth to the savior of Bnei Israel. The Kavan should know that Moshe, and when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nismale called by his Kula Or, the whole house we said before in Kitov was filled with light. Amar Avia Vinashka Rosha, her father Amram gives her a kiss on her forehead. We're on top of Yigimel Aleph, third line into the Gemara now. So her father gave her a kiss on her forehead. Amar Labiti Niskaima Nivuasech, my daughter, your Nivua has come true. But then says the Gemara, the Kavan she Kilu Yor, once she was thrown into the Yor, Amar Avia B'tavchal Rosha, her father gets up and he patches her, gives her a patch in the face. Amar Avla Biti, Heichan Nevuah Seich, my daughter, where is your Nevuah? What happened to your Nevuah that you had? So here you are beforehand, you're telling me Nevuah, and the Nevuah is great. And now all of a sudden, your Nevuah is false. You have, you throw them into the water right now. Amar Avla Biti, Heichan Nevuah Seich, right, where is your Nevuah? Vayin Yosef says in the Pasuk, but take that save, Achosom Merachok. That's why it says that his sister Miriam stood at a distance to know what exactly would happen. What does it mean? What would happen? What would happen to her prophecy in the end? What would be with her prophecy in the end? That's the story now. We finish the story now of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a great Pesach relevant discussion. We're now going to take the next few minutes we can. So 5 minutes and we'll stop because we don't want to finish tomorrow, the end of the parak. So hopefully 5 minutes we'll do this right now and then we'll end. It's actually a very, very famous Agadah, which you've all heard in some way in your lifetime. Yosef Zacha, etc. Yosef merited to bury Yaakov Avinu, and for that he was Zacha to have Moshe Rabbeinu bury him. Says the Gemara, Yosef Zacha v'chulei. Ma'ishna meikara d'chsev ya Yosef likvoras aviv, v'yalu ito kol avdei paro, v'hadar, only afterwards, v'chol beis Yosef achiv u'beis aviv. I mean, why in the beginning, when Yosef goes down to bury Yaakov, it says Yosef goes to bury Yaakov, and with him went all paros of Adin. And only afterwards, in the list of who went to bury him, you have afterwards Beis Yosef, Echav, and Beis Aviv. Meaning, Yosef's family was kind of put in the back of this procession. Why am I getting there in the back? In the end, when they returned from the burial, the Simon says in the Apostle, Yashav Yosef Mitzrayimah, who? The Echav. The Hadar, only afterwards it says, the Kol Olim Ito, Likvor Es Aviv. Meaning, if you look in the Pesukim, when it describes the Pesukim described going down to bury, versus later on coming back. So why in the beginning is Yosef's family all like secondary people? But when they return, Yosef's family kind of gets bumped up to the top of the line, the front of the line, right next to Yosef. What changed? So Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila ad shlo ra'u b'chodan shal Yisrael naga b'hen kavod. In the beginning, when they didn't see how great, they knew Yosef was great, but they didn't know Yaakov. They didn't know Yaakov's family. They didn't know so much about who everyone really was. And therefore, they didn't tell the kvodan shal Yisrael, so they didn't treat them with kavod. They didn't treat the Bnei Yaakov with kavod. They treated Yosef with kavod. And of course, they wanted to honor Yosef's father, Yaakov. But really, Yosef was the mechubad one. No one else. When they saw in the end, when they saw how much honor was accorded to Yosef, to Yaakov in his burial, nagu ben kavod. They also gave kavod to the children of Yaakov as well. Now, what kind of kavod did they see given to Yaakov? This is in the pasuk. It says, and they got to the threshing floor, a tater of thorns. The threshing floor, the Goren is a threshing floor. Usually you have grain, you thresh grain. But here it says the threshing floor of thorns. Why would they ever have threshing for thorns? Do we thresh thorns? We don't thresh thorns. So why is it even, that's why it's very hard to say that. Thresh thorns. You can try it later on your own time, but it's like it's a tongue twister. Do we actually thresh thorns? Amar Rivar Bo says, "Melamed shikifu kisar laronos shel Yaakov kigoren zesh makifun lo ated." We learn that they surrounded the aron, the body of Yaakov, the coffin of Yaakov. They surrounded it kifu with tarim, with crowns, like a threshing floor that you surround with thorns, meaning you put thorns around a threshing floor to protect it from animals getting in and eating your grains. That you do. Yaakov's coffin was surrounded with crowns. We'll see in a minute where, why, and where, and what. It was surrounded with crowns like thorns that surround a threshing floor. Now, what happened here? Why were they surrounded with crowns? Shabo Sham, B'nai Esav, B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Keturah. That B'nai Esav, B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Keturah, they all came. Again, Yishmael, we know, was the uncle of Yaakov. Esav, the son of the brother of Yaakov, Keturah, which is really, I mean, it's Hagar, but it's Avram's children. So like Yishmael. So B'nai Yishmael, they're really the cousins, and these are the great uncles. So we have a whole mishpacha coming along. They're all great leaders in their own respective communities. Tanakum Mechamabo. Really, it was taught that they all came to wage war. They wanted to fight with an attack B'nai Yisrael. But Kevan Sherel, Kitzur Yosef, Tabluy Baron Shiakov, they saw that Yosef's crown was hanging from the Aron of Yaakov, from Yaakov's coffin. Natlukulan Kstrehen V'Tala'um Baron Shiakov. They all felt like, oh my gosh, I can't attack. The opposite. There's a crown right now hanging, and we have our own crowns. They took their own crowns off their own head, and they hung them on the Aron of Yaakov as a respect for this big tzaddik who passed away. If the viceroy of Mitzrayim put his crown on it, they want to do the same and show their covenant as well. And Tana was even taught, Shloshim v'shisha katarim nitlu baron shiakov. There were 36 katarim in the end, 36 crowns altogether that were hung on the Aron of Yaakov. You do the math later on. Rashi over here tells us where they are, how to get to 36. But 36 crowns in the end, 35 among these people we mentioned, and one of Yosef. They gave him a very big eulogy. Yaakov. Tana, afilus husim afilu chamorim. Even the animals, even the horses and the donkeys were involved in the eulogy. Either they dressed them up in clothing that was like clothing of mourning, or that the animals were making noises like as part of like the eulogy ceremony of the crying over Yaakov dying. Here's a famous midrash you know already. When they got to Maras Machpelah to bury Yaakov, Asa Esav Kama Akiv. Esav came and he held them back. He said to them, Mamre Kiryas Arba Hi Chevron. We know this Maras Machpelah is in Mamre, a place in the area of Mamre. The Kiryas Arba, which is in Chevron. Now, Kiryas Arba means what? Amar Bitsa, Kiryas Arba means Arba Zugos Hayu. There were supposed to be four pairs of graves. Adam Mechava, Avram Misara, Yitzhak Rivka. And we know in the end it was Yaakov Vileya. Those are the four sets of burial of people who were buried, four pairs who were buried Maras Machpelah. Kiryat Arba, it's called, the four pairs. Iu kavr Leah b'didei. It says Esav that Yaakov buried Leah in his spot, in his kever. Vai de payish yidihu. That which is payish means is remaining. That which is left, it's for me. Meaning, how can he bury himself in my spot? There were two spots left. One was his, one was mine, says Esav. He buried Leah in his. But that which is payish, that which is left over, it's mine. He can't take my burial plot and use it. And therefore he says, the procession must stop here. This is my spot. Amrule, Zivinte. They say back to him, what do you mean? You sold it. The brothers said you sold it to him. Amrule said to them, Nehi, the Zivine, Bichirusa. It's true. Granted, I sold the Bichirusa. I sold the double portion. I mean, I sold the extra portion that belonged to me. That part is true. But the original portion, Pshitusa Mizvini, who said I sold the original portion? Amrulei in. What they say, yeah, of course you did. This is in the Pasuk. Bikivri Asher Karisi Li. Yaakov said, bury me in the kever that I dug. Officially, Karisi means to dig. But over here we see it means that I bought. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishnah Rishon Ben Yod Tzadok. Ain't Kir Lashon Mechira that I bought. That bury me in the portion that I bought. She came to Krach Hayam Korin LeMechira Kira. In the Krach Hayam, in the islands in the sea, in different lands in the world, they call Mechira Kira. So bury me in the portion that I bought. So Yaakov says over here, he did. I mean, the children of Yaakov say he did buy it from you. He did. And he told us he bought it from you. So Yosef said to them, Havali Igrasa. So bring me a bring me the igarsa. Means bring the letter of proof that that he bought it from me. So amrule igarsa ba'arim Mitzrayim here. We can't. The letter, the deed of sale is found in Mitzrayim. We don't have it on us. Uman nezel. So who's going to go and get it? Nezel Naftali dekalo kiayalsa. Send Naftali because he's light. He's light in his feet like an ayal, like a deer. Like a ram or a deer, he's very, very quick. He's very swift. Bring Naftali to run back and get it. D'chsev Naftali ayalash shlucha. Hanoseim reshafer. Naftali is the ayalash shlucha. He's the he's like a fast deer who's noteim reshafer, which means who says over beautiful statements, beautiful sayings. But over here we compare Naftali to a deer. Where do we see before that people are compared to animals? Remember we saw that beforehand? Yeah, Aaron, what do you got for me?
We said Don Yosef.
But why do we say it though? Why do we say it? Remember why we said it?
Because we said that they were giving birth like animals.
Excellent. Very good. Who said that? Who said that line? In Tanakh, who made that claim in Tanakh?
Was it in Mitzrayim or?
Yeah, Mitzrayim. Who made the claim in Mitzrayim and why?
Oh, it was the Yocheved and Miriam.
Excellent. Shifra and Pua. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, good. So over here, so in the meantime, he goes now and he just says, I'm going to go right now and I'm going to bring Naftali his sense. He's like the Jewish Flash to run and grab the deed of sale, Maras Nafpela, to prove that really Yaakov can be buried here. Amr Bivo, Al Tikri Imri Shafer, Ella Imri Sefer. Don't read it as Imri Shafer, which means like beautiful sayings, but rather Imri Sefer, which means the sayings of the Sefer, of the deed of sale. Now, as is happening, Chushim Berei did Dan Taman Havi. Chushim, the son of Dan, was over there. He was standing in this procession, and Chushim, V'yikiran Le Udne. Yikiran means it was like heavy. His udnei, his ozen, his ears were heavy, means he couldn't hear, he was deaf. Chushim, ironically, where chushim means senses, and ironically, he was missing a sense, but chushim, the son of Dan, who was deaf, who couldn't hear what was going on, he was there, part of this procession. Amr lehu, my eye, he says to the people around him, what's going on over here? Amr lehu, they communicated back to him, come akev hai, ad asking Naftali, me ard Mitzrayim. So he says, this guy over here, meaning Esav, is holding this up until Naftali gets back from Mitzrayim to bring the deed of sale. Armalu, Ad Us and Naftali, Me'aradim, Mitzrayim, Yoy Abba, Abi Abba, Mutal, Bizayon? What, until Naftali gets back from Mitzrayim, our grandfather is going to be lying down in disgrace? His body's over here. No one's burying him. He's going to be like standing in disgrace? No way. Shako Kufa. So Chushim took a stick, a staff, like a rod, Machye Areshe. And he smacked Esav on his head. And he killed Esav. He knocked his head out. Natran Eine V'naflu Akara de Yaakov. Now here's again. This part of the Gemara is not in our like Rashi that we have, but the first part is. This part's not. His eyes fell out. Esav's eyes popped out. And they fell on the Kara de Yaakov, on the feet of Yaakov. Where else do we have someone's eyes falling out? Who remembers? What do you got from me, Aaron?
Shimshon.
Excellent. Shimshon, very good. Why did his eyes fall out, Aaron? Why did Shimshon's eyes get poked out, Aaron? Remember why?
Maybe it was because he was looking at things he wasn't supposed to look at.
Yeah, his eyes betrayed him, right? He followed his eyes as far as he want, he picked the police woman he wanted to be with, right? He followed based on his eyes and his attraction. Very good. Okay. Now, when the eyes of Esav fall out and land on Yaakov's feet, paschinhu Yaakov v'enei v'achich. Again, a little spooky, but Yaakov opens his eyes. Again, Yaakov is dead. Keep that in mind. And he smiles. He opens his eyes and he smiles. Behind the scenes, he says the pasuk, yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam pa'amav yirchat b'dam harasha. Which means that tzaddik will be happy when he sees nakam, the kama, when he sees vengeance. Pa'amav yirchas b'dam rasha. He'll bathe his pamav, his feet, in the blood of the evil one. And then the osa shah, that moment in time, and we'll be here, that we'll finish this part here, the osa, that moment in time, this kaima nevuah sa Rivka. Now nevuah, Rivka's nevuah becomes fulfilled. The chassid says that Rivka said she was afraid when Esav and Yaakov saw the brachas, that she said, Yaakov away, she said, go away from your brother. Lam eshkol gam shnechem yom echa. Why should I lose both of them, both Esav and Yaakov, on the same day? She didn't want them to both be lost the same day. Now, even though they didn't die the same day, because Yaakov was died a while ago, he was in Mitzrayim for a long time before they buried him. Even though they didn't die the same day, but the burial was in fact the same day. So Gemara here says, now that's how the Gemara really ends this whole sugya. Just the final part we had over here, so that because of Yosef buried Yaakov, so it's implied that he was given this the one who buried Yaakov, and the other brothers kind of didn't really get involved in it as much. Gemara says, "Lo asik be Yosef, achiv lo havi mi askibe." If Yosef hadn't done it, would his brothers not have done it? Meaning, we're giving Yosef the full credit as if he did it, but really everyone would have done it. The brothers would have done it also. Vaktiv says in the pasuk, after all, vayisu oso banav arta Kanan, that Yaakov's other children also carried him towards Canaan. So why do we give Yosef the credit? Why does the Torah seem to give Yosef the credit for burying Yaakov when really it was a group effort? So Amru, the brothers said, Anichu lo kavodo b'mlachim Yosef b'me'ed yodos. Anichu lo, let's leave it for him. Let Yosef take the lead in burying Yaakov. Because kavodo, that Yaakov's honor is more befitting if Melachim take care of him than if hedjotos, if regular guys, which we are regular guys compared to Yosef right now, let Yosef be the one who kind of works through with Yaakov and buries him instead of us and gives more kavod to Yaakov in the process. Stop over here. Call a kavod for you boys for...